All right, get reloaded here. Acts chapter 9. I had the microphone set just in case Brother Jack was preaching, so the batteries would go out on him about 3 minutes into the message. So I said, I better change him out. Hey. Yeah. Amen. You know, right now with the main event, you might say, going on since the last Sunday with the Super Bowl was the Olympics. You know, Olympics kicked off and big thing going on. And, you know, you can. Some people like to watch Olympics all the time. Some people just like to see who won or whatever. But, you know, when I watch it, usually the only those who win the gold are the ones who are remembered. And I even sometimes don't even remember them. But if you win the gold, you're probably going to get some kind of contract, you know, for advertising or some deal or something. You're probably going to make some money if you get the gold. If you get anything else in that, no one really cares. I mean, they want you to get the gold. You know, yeah, I got the bronze. That's fine. Okay, I guess. But, you know, it's something. But no one really remembers those people. Though, when you watch them and you know the people, those athletes and stuff have been training for many, many years, even though a lot of them are very young. They've all trained. They all participated, and they all finished well. When you watch the races downhill and the other things, they put their life in their hands to go down there as fast as they can to try to win. And they may not win, but they still finished. They still did all the training and participated and did everything they're supposed to do, but they didn't win. And so they may not ever be remembered, but they still did it. And when serving God, it doesn't matter in his eyes who actually wins the race, because Jesus won already. He's the victor. But that we finish well. He just wants us to finish well. No one may ever know your name. No one may remember who you are. Some of the greatest, in my view, you know, God doesn't like us to use the word great and good, but in my view, some of the greatest preachers, pastors, servants of God, missionaries, are those you probably never even heard about, because they did it behind the scenes. And they did the work that God wanted them to do, and the only one that really cared was the Lord, and that's all that matters. But sometimes we want somebody to know who we are. We want to be the big man on the block and the one that gets all the attention and has the gold around their neck. But we don't need that. Paul is a great example of someone I think would have been one who won the gold and finished well. And Paul wrote many of the books of the New Testament. Paul saw many people saved. He started many churches. He was a great influence on emperors and princesses and governors and people that could never be reached with the gospel. Paul was able to reach them and preach to them. He was one that did many things for the Lord. And think, well, that you look in the Bible, you may not remember who Onesimus was, and some of the other people, Malchus and some other ones that we mentioned in the Bible. But you know Paul, because he was very great in his influence with the first churches being started and the work being going forth in Jesus' name and all the things that are going on. He was a great participant in that. Even though we know many people who were involved as well, we know Paul. Now, when we look at Acts chapter 9, we know the story. It says that in verse number 1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slanders against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And we know from other scriptures that he was involved in seeing people executed, like Stephen and other people, that he was thrown in jail, in prison. It didn't matter if they're men, women, or children. Saul was the destroyer. That's what his name meant. He was going to destroy anybody that had anything to do with the name of Jesus. He was going to eradicate this movement that he saw that was taken away from his God and his religion. He thought it was all in the name of God, but it wasn't. And we know that later on down the road here, as he goes, he meets Jesus. He gets saved. He realizes that Jesus is the Lord, surrenders his life to God, and Jesus begins to use him. And he sends him to Damascus, which is where he was going. And when he got there, he began to try to talk to the Jews and show them that Jesus was the very Christ. And many of the believers that are there didn't believe it at the time when they saw them, because they knew the reputation that Saul had. Now his name is Paul. And the Lord wanted to use him and direct him into many works. But when he got there, we see that as he began to talk to them, in verse number 22, it says, "But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt in Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. And after many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him." He was the one supposed to be killing everybody else. Now he's going to be killed because of his faith. And then it says in verse number 25, "And the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket so he could escape." Now, that being laid in wait, it says in those verse 24 and 25, being known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. The disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket, verse 24 and 25. And so we know that Jesus even said himself, "Paul is going to suffer many things in my name." That basket that we see here, it's not like a little Easter basket that holds a couple of eggs. It was big enough to hold him in it. And it probably kind of consumed him enough to get him down the wall. And those walls were not very small. They had to sneak him out. And so they had a rope tied to that basket, and they lowered him down. And many times we can look at that basket and see or have it represent our troubles in our life. Now, Paul didn't realize what type of troubles he was going to have. This was the first ones. He just recently got converted. And all he knew was to preach Jesus to the Jews so that they would get saved. And what did he get for it? They wanted to kill him. Immediately when his life started, he began to have troubles. Many of us as believers and as Christians realize when we became saved, our troubles just started. Now, they may have changed from our troubles in the past, because those troubles we had before were probably caused because of the sin we're in. But now we're going to have different troubles, but they're all still troubles. That basket is always going to have troubles in it. And Paul was being led down with that basket, and the rope that we have attached represents those that help being used of God. Now, I brought a piece of rope over here just for demonstration purposes and because it's rodeo time. And so I thought, well, maybe, did I mess up something over there?
Not yet.
Good. Let me work on it a little bit longer, see if I can get it messed up. So, you know, when they let that basket down, they had Paul in that thing, and they began to lower him down to get him out so that he wouldn't be killed. But, you know, that rope represents us being used of God to help others. Now, every person can be used of God to help people, I believe. Every Christian can be used to help others, the people of God, especially when they're having troubles in life. That's what it's all about. We need each other. Now, just to illustrate this a little bit, Paul was in the basket with his troubles, and he was being led down. But I guarantee you, there was more than one holding that rope. Now, Paul, it didn't say he was a man of little stature or like Zacchaeus or something, and how they kind of pointed out in the Bible how he was small in stature. It doesn't say that about Paul. I'm assuming he was just a regular sized guy, and it's going to need a few people to lower him down. And those walls were really tall, and so they're going to have to hold him in that basket and keep holding that rope until he made it to safety. Well, what we want to point out today is that we all can hold the rope. We can all be part of holding the rope for people in our lives. Now, we need to hold a rope, number one, for young believers. Paul was a young believer. He just recently got saved, and he was going to do great things for God. No one knew that. The church that he went to in Damascus, they thought he was there to kill him. They thought he was deceiving them and thought he was going to show up, act like he's a Christian, and then have them all arrested, thrown in prison, or killed. They didn't realize until Barnabas and Ananias talked to him and said, no, I heard this guy. I know what God did for him, and I heard him preach, and he's talking about Jesus, and he's part of us, and we ought to hold the rope for him. He was a young believer that needed somebody to hold the rope. Now, what we see was Saul was called of God in Acts 9:4 when he says he fell on the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And then we know not only was Saul called, but Saul was chosen. In Acts 9:15, it says, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Now, Paul would have never been able to do the things he was able to do unless somebody was holding that rope. Many Christians get born again. Many Christians come in the house of the Lord. Many Christians come, and sometimes we look at their life and say, you know what? They better change pretty quick because I don't like the way they dress. They better change pretty quick because they need to get involved or they need to get out. Maybe they really didn't get saved. I don't see them doing anything for God. And sometimes we start ridiculing the young believers instead of holding the rope for the young believers. Young believers need somebody on the other end holding that rope to make sure they can make it to safety. The first person that wants to take them out is Satan. They got saved. They can't take his soul, but they can definitely take the rest of his testimony. They can send some floozy his way and take him out immediately out of the service of God. And we as Christians are commanded to hold that rope and keep him from falling until they can get to the other side. Many young believers, no one has a rope. No one's holding the rope. Oh, you got saved. Praise God. Find a church to go to it. We'll see you sometime. Then they go to some bogus church that never learned the word of God. They never understand the foundations of God. They never understand what the truth means. And they have no clue. Because no one was holding the rope. You know, the scriptures don't say. Yep, I am about to blow that up. The scriptures don't tell you, but I can perceive that because Saul was already engaged, even starting back as when Stephen was stoned, and everybody saw that happen in Jerusalem, that his reputation was preceding him, and that he affected many people's lives already. And I can kind of see this being a reality, that when he got to Damascus and he was introduced as a brother, that there were some sitting there that were mothers that lost their daughters, that were husbands that lost their wives, that are grandfathers that lost their grandbaby because of this man. And now you're telling me he's a Christian? That ain't fair. He ought to die. He took my family member. He took my relative. He took my husband from me. He took my wife from me. Now you tell me he's a believer? And don't you know there's probably some of them there that when he was holding that rope wanted to say, I want to just let him fall. I don't want him to make it to safety. And don't you know there's probably some on the other side of that wall says, I'm going to run around him and I'm going to tell the other Jews, there he is, there he is, go get him. They could have, because we can feel that way sometimes. But God says, all I want you to do is hold that rope. Just hold that rope for those believers. Hold that rope for young believers. They need you. Paul needed you. We need you. Everybody needs us. It doesn't matter who's holding the rope. God doesn't even mention who is holding the rope, because it doesn't matter. He just wants you to hold the rope. We need to hold the rope for young believers. But also we need to hold the rope for hurting believers. You know, Paul's life after this got worse and worse and worse as far as his physical life. Of course, he did a lot of great things for God, but he suffered some things, just a few things. 2 Corinthians 11 gives a little bit of a list there. He says in verse 24 through 27, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Three times, I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and day. And have I been in the deep? I can't even spend 5 minutes in the deep more about him getting eaten by a shark or something. And he was in there for a whole night and day. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among the false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings and often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting off, in cold and nakedness. He'd been through it all. That's a complete list of everything that you could possibly imagine happened to Paul. He could have griped and complained the whole time and said, why are you doing this to me, Lord? I deserve better than this. Why am I hungry, Lord? And you got the other people on the other side saying, well, Jesus would never let you nothing happen to you. You're always going to prosper. Once you get saved, all you're going to have is good in your life. You better look at Paul's life again. It's never promised that you're going to have it great every single day of your life. When you do have it great, you ought to just praise him for it. Because it might not be like that tomorrow. Things might change. And you might be one of those hurting believers one time that's in the basket. And while you're hurting, you need somebody to hold that rope. You need somebody to hold on to you because you're hurting. And you need somebody to take care of you. And you know what you can do as a believer? Oh, I don't care about her. What she said last time just made me mad. I don't care that she's having a hurting problem. I don't care that she's going through something right now. I ain't holding that rope. She hurt me. And all you want is revenge instead of holding that rope. And God says, why don't you just hold the rope? There's hurting believers everywhere. We don't know what they're going to go through. We don't know the trials and the difficulties. We don't know when the missionaries go overseas and they have difficulties and things come up. You don't hear about half of them because they don't put it in the letter. They're told, and you can testify this, they're told, don't put negative stuff in your letter. Just tell them all the good things that are going on. They don't want to hear that. Most of us don't. You have no idea what's going on. But you can still hold the rope. Because you know something's going on in their life. And you can still hold the rope. Hold that rope for young believers. Hold that rope for hurting believers. But lastly, we need to hold that rope for frontline believers. You know, when you become a preacher, pastor, missionary, you're on the front line. And you don't always know what's going on in their life either. But I guarantee it's not always good. Because they're on the front line. They're getting shot at first. You're in the back. And in the back, you're supposed to help the wounded. And when they're getting shot at, you need to go help them by holding that rope. You need to stand in the front line. 2 Corinthians 11:28-33, Paul says this. He mentions all these things that happened to him. He says, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the churches. As a missionary, pastor, preacher, you realize that you have the care of the churches upon you all the time. And you need somebody to help you hold that rope or you ain't going to make it. You know why churches are closing? You know why preachers are falling? You know why missionaries are coming back off the field? There ain't nobody holding that rope. Everybody thinks they're better than that. They don't like you, brother, because you wear glasses. They don't like you, brother, because you're too young for the mission field. Amen. That's why I said it to you, brother. They don't like you because you're not married. They don't like you because your Bible is not black. It's brown. You'd be surprised. People don't like me because I got a wooden pulpit instead of a clear one. Hey man, I don't want you to see everything that's going on back there. I mean, I gotta hide sometimes. I need it wooden. But you know, they'll fall because no one's willing to hold the rope for frontline preachers and missionaries. No one wants to hold the line. And so I'll give next week. I'll give next year. I don't really have the money right now. They'll be all right without me. You just let go of the rope. That's one less person that's holding that rope for that missionary. That's one less rope, a person holding that rope for that church. And you think, well, that church ain't going to go down just because I didn't give my offering. You just let go of the rope. How many people have let go of the rope? You going to let them fall? You let them give up and quit? And then you look at them later and say, oh, well, they just never were called of God. Maybe it's because you let go of the rope. You thought you were too good to hold on the rope. And God says, no, I want you just to hold the rope for the frontline believers. Paul said, who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is offended? And I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory in the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under, it says in verse number 33, under Arrestus, the king kept the city of the Damascens with the garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window, this is Paul telling the story to the Corinthians, in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. He would have never accomplished what he did if somebody wasn't holding a rope. He would have never witnessed to Caesar unless somebody was holding a rope. He would have never started many churches. He would have never wrote the books of the Bible. He would have never saw people saved. He would have never called other people to the mission field. He would have never had other pastors anointed in the churches that he had started. He would have never influenced anybody if somebody wasn't holding the rope. We can't do it by ourselves. We need you to hold the rope. I can't do it by myself. I need you to hold the rope. Every single person here is important. Every single person here needs to take hold of that rope because there's somebody in that basket that needs help. There's troubles in that basket for our young believers. There's difficulties in that basket for people who have been hurt. And there's a lot of things coming for the frontline believers that stand in front of you that you won't be attacked. They're standing in front of you that you may not get hurt. They're standing in the way so that you can have a little bit of safety. And all God wants you to do is hold on to the rope and do what you can for God. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't make excuses. Just hold the rope. Let's go to the Lord in prayer for a few moments and ask God to help us this morning. There's many things that we may accomplish for God. We may not get the gold for it. People may not recognize our name for it. We may not have a legacy left behind that everybody can point to. But he does want us to finish our race, finish our course, and finish well. And many times, it's as simple as just holding the rope. But how can I hold the rope? Keep giving. Keep praying. Stay faithful. Do what God called you to do. Don't give up. Don't quit. You know, you're not going to be the first. I'm not the first pastor at this church. I won't be the last pastor at this church. We're not. These missionaries over here, they're not the first missionaries to go overseas into these areas. They're not the last missionary to go overseas in the areas. The only reason why the door is open is because somebody went earlier and somebody was holding the rope. And now we have many more opportunities to go and reach people because somebody was faithful in holding the rope. And if you hold your rope during your generation, there'll be another generation until Jesus comes that'll continue on the work because you held the rope. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time we have here today. We ask that you'll bless us, help us to make the decisions that honor you and glorify you. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of being here today and for your word and for the simple message that we just need to continue to hold the rope for other believers. Help us to do our part, Lord, and make a decision that will honor you. There may be here, if there's anybody here, Lord, that needs to be saved and needs to be forgiven, I pray, Lord, they'll just call upon you today. Whosoever shall call upon a name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe there's Christians and believers here that just need to get refocused on what's important in their life. And there's so many things that distract us. May we never forget our main responsibility is to hold that rope. We may not ever be a Paul. We may not ever win the gold. No one may ever know our name, but we can hold the rope. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for all those in my life that have been holding the rope, because I wouldn't have made it without them. And I appreciate every single one of them. And I pray that you'll bless their life. Help me, Lord, to continue to hold the rope for others. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we pray, if there's a need you have, you'd like to come to the altar for, would you do so? Would you just let God have his way? Maybe you want to pray where you're at. Just let God have his way in your heart right now.
One more verse. If you have anything you want to come pray about, let God have his way.